It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're halfway home on a Tuesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Lovely to be here with all of you this morning. Thanks to John Connor for Mad Friars for stopping by, hanging out for a couple hours, helping us run out some clock. You know, let's be honest, it was an off day yesterday. Ken, you could come in. You got to rip. You got to rip 4 hours talking about the San Diego Padres. Nice to hear from John about the prospects and all of that. Love to see him, and he's a good dude. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer, and Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well.
Did you know we're actually halfway through our week? 6 hours in, 6 hours to go.
Oh,
because after tomorrow's show, we're done.
We're on vacation.
Yeah, for the 4th of July weekend.
And joining us also in studio is our beloved Bald Reindel, Adam Klug.
Well, speaking of that, do you guys have anything you want to say to my face about what's going on Friday?
Yeah, let's talk about Friday for a moment. First of all, welcome back from your trip, because it was not a vacation.
Thank you for not calling it a vacation.
You flew. All right, tell everybody, you flew from here to where?
My parents, right at the start of the pandemic, were all from Atlanta, but they moved to St. Pete Beach, which is right by Tampa.
In Florida.
So we flew to Tampa, spent 4 days with my parents.
Okay, and you stayed in their home?
In their home. Listen to this.
Three kids.
So, with my three kids, it was my mother's 70th birthday, so we were celebrating that with her, right? We surprised her. She only knew that my family was coming in. My brother, his wife, and his son from Atlanta, we surprised they were going to drive in and meet us.
Okay.
And then my youngest brother, who lives in New Jersey with his wife and his two-month-old, were going to fly in. So she would have her three sons and their families all together.
They didn't all stay there, though.
They didn't all stay there. So we got in on
what are we talking? This is like Christmas vacation. Like everybody's just
sitting there. It's her 70th birthday. Get the whole family together.
Get everybody together.
So we drove in on Friday. My brother was supposed to pick up my middle brother was supposed to pick up my youngest brother at the airport on Sunday as the surprise, but he couldn't get there early enough to pick him up, so he drove in on Saturday. So he gets in early on Saturday. I'm like, come on over. Let's hang out. He goes, no, we're going to lay low. We've been planning all this. We don't want to waste the surprise. I feel like his big daddy. We waste the good surprise on you.
All right, you're starting to tell stories like my wife. So let's get – what was your purpose of this?
Because my youngest brother's flight got canceled.
All right.
He never made it in. Never made it in.
I want to hear how awful it was. That's what I want to hear.
Well, traveling with three young kids is never easy.
No.
Tuesday was the worst day. We flew from Tampa to Birmingham, which is about an hour 10 flight. So it's an easy flight. We were there for 4 hours maybe. My grandmother lives there, who is my kid's great-grandmother. They don't get to see very often. And I have aunts and uncles. So we flew to Birmingham, saw my family for 4 hours, and then rented a car and drove to Atlanta 2.5 hours. That was a long day. Lose an hour going east.
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
And then we stayed with my in-laws for 4 days in Atlanta.
How was that?
They didn't have anything planned for us.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Just wanted to be, quote unquote, be with the grandkids. Do you guys do the bit where you, like, because I have young kids, when I go see my family, I'm like, here you go. I'm like, they're yours. And Hannah and I will go do stuff.
No, we don't do that.
You know, you're there.
Well, we've got a, you know, a just about 2-year-old.
Yeah,
just
under
two. So he's constant supervision.
It's a tough scene. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's one of those.
It's good to be back. I wanted to be back. I wanted to get back.
You missed a really fun week of Padres baseball. That's
I watched all the games.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
It was incredible. Yeah.
Can I just say that I love Jerks and Profar?
Yeah, we all do.
I love him.
He's great. He's great. I'm so glad he unblocked our entire show.
Yeah. Good vibes.
He only follows Ben, though. I noticed.
Is that true?
Yes. He does not follow me anymore. I thought he followed us in spring training. He's since unblocked me, or he's since unfollowed me. So I love him. He's one of Bo's favorite players for sure.
Yeah, he does follow
me. Yeah, he follows you. Must be nice. Yeah.
At Jerks and Profar.
Mr. Negative, Mr. Never Negative, Ben Higgins over there.
He's got the good vibes over there.
He does. So Friday is one of those days where it's like, hey, you know, we took Friday off. But then come to find out yesterday, Sam Levitt's actually going to be doing our show, which I'm fine with. Sammy Levitt's always welcome to. I just feel like a heel a little bit.
You are.
That he's coming into work 4 hours while we're going to be doing what we're doing.
He'll be broadcasting twice on Friday. He'll do the morning show from 6 to 10, and he's got Padres pre- and post-game that evening.
That's just poor management on your part.
Yeah, I think so. That's just bad planning, I think.
Thursday is a company holiday.
Correct.
And a federal holiday. Like, most people should have Thursday off or get off early, whatever. And then Friday is that one. When there's a holiday on a Thursday, you're like, is it a company holiday? Is my boss giving me the day off?
Or it's like that Friday after Thanksgiving.
Do I just take the day off? Because I'm not coming in on Black Friday and doing a show that
way. You have two choices. Either everyone gets the day off, or you get the least productive work day of the year from everybody that you've made come in. And now you have the bad will of just having them all come in for the very unproductive Friday.
Right,
where they can't get much done anyway. Because generally, you know, the other people, like sales, you know, call it business.
Is sales working
Let's sell
Friday?
Something. Well, no one's working today, so who am I going to sell anything to on this Friday?
I got into it with our boss.
Did you?
He says the salespeople will be working. I told
him.
Wow.
Right.
How are they going to be working
on
this Friday?
I told him I didn't buy it.
No, they're not.
So here's the thing.
I was in sales. There's no way.
From our perspective, Adam, call it a month, 6 weeks, 2 months ago, when we were talking about taking time off in the summer, you told us, we said, we're going to take the 5th off. You go, I believe it's not a company holiday, Friday, July 5th, but Michael's going to just give everybody that day off.
I don't remember saying that, but even if I did, I believe gives me some wiggle room there, and Michael, you know, opted to keep the offices open.
Well, you didn't tell us that. Now, now Sammy hates us.
No, Sammy just, first of all, I did not order or assign Sammy to work. I offered him the opportunity. I said, if you would like to do it and do something different than what you normally do, it's there for you. There's no pressure. I won't be upset if you don't.
When
it's
somebody says no pressure, I won't be upset if you don't, it actually means there's pressure and I will be upset if you don't.
There's no pressure.
When somebody says no pressure, that means you know when I feel the most pressure is when somebody says no pressure.
We would just go to network. And look, Braden and Scraby, you know, they wanted to work. They wanted to get their opportunity and get an opportunity to fill in.
I'd much rather have Sammy in doing the show than going to network that's not going to talk about Padres. And for the people who do want to listen, even if they're not working and are at home, you'll have that option of Sam Levitt. Now, I don't have the same qualms that Woods does, because while Sammy works very hard, as you said, he wants to be here. And I also know that as soon as the Padres season ends, whether that's, you know, after October or after September, Sammy will be allowed to have some time off because, you know, he doesn't have any more pre- and post-game shows. And he'll have like 3 or 4 weeks where we can just say, Sammy, go take some time off and relax. Whereas when the season ends, that does not happen for Ben and Woods.
No, guess
who's
here
the way through the offseason until the start of next year doing his job.
12 for Ben, right?
Yeah, no, I'm actually
Let's keep an eye on Woods' PTO
this year.
How it compares to mine.
This is my year.
I'm taking Monday off, this my one vacation so far this year. You know, and then that's it for now.
I'll be in here on Friday with the guys. I mean, you know, I work.
Okay.
I know you guys like to take off. I'll be working.
Well, you just had a week off, so.
We look forward, not backwards.
That's fair. That's fair.
Well you'll have to be managing all the unusual employees and shows that you've brought in on Friday.
It's good to see you again. And no pressure, but Yeah, I'm going to be, you guys aren't going to see much of me for the rest of the year, just so you know.
The rest of the year?
Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff planned. I need my R&R.
Okay.
All right. Just so you know.
Adam, good to see you.
Thank you, guys, too.
He did come in with some swag, by the way. Padres delivering giveaways for the upcoming homestand, including the one that Woods has already claimed.
Well,
this is the Nando Calrissian bobblehead for Star Wars weekend, which is coming up this weekend, July 5th through 7th, against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, if you want one of these, you need a theme game ticket.
So I told the wife, we're going Saturday. Have the theme game ticket. And she said, you have to come up with, if I don't go home with that, I'm a dead man.
So I just saved you.
I think. I mean, do the other shows need to show it off, too, or can I just take it?
Are you giving them the option?
I'm just going to take it. Yeah, I'll ask forgiveness later.
It's about as clever of Star Wars tie-in that you can come up with. Nando Calrissian.
It looks so cool.
Really clever. And then Adam also brought the throwback 1984 hat presented by San Diego Community Power. This is the giveaway on Wednesday, July 10th. Padres hosting the Seattle Mariners. That's a 3-4 day game. This does go to all the first 40,000 fans in attendance. It's got the SD, but also the very cool lowercase Padres 1984-esque logo on the side, celebrating the 40th anniversary of the 1984 World Series team as well. And then they wrap up the first half of the season with the Atlanta Braves coming to town July 12th through the 14th.
Bunch of bums.
So, yeah, still the wild card leaders, though, in the National League. Not playing quite as well as they have in previous seasons.
It should be nice coming from my mouth to hear that.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, I trust you when your Atlanta Braves opinions are there. Now, Padres may or may not be able to compete with the LA Dodgers at any point in this season for the NL West, but there is value in taking that first wild card spot.
Yeah.
They're, what, three games behind the Braves with, you know, plenty of time to try to at least get the first wild card. And if you're going to have to play a wild card series, play it at home. You know, have those games in your home yard. And the Padres, certainly, that's a feasible, realistic goal for the San Diego Padres, I would say, in the second half of the season. Not just make the playoffs, but put yourself in a better position by getting home field advantage for that wild card series, whether it's against Atlanta or, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals or New York Mets or whoever it might be. I know the Padres played well on the road earlier this year. I know they beat the Mets in a wild card series a couple of years ago on the road. Can we all agree it's better to have to bring the other team in and have them be the team that's on the road for that series than having to go on the road yourself?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I mean, I know I said it earlier in the season, you know, the way that they're playing on the road, let's just make sure we play on the road. But that they've come back down to earth in that.
And they've played very well at home.
They have. They have. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of the calendar turned into June, and the boys started playing well at home. Ball started launching out of Petco Park again for us as well. That was the most frustrating thing of the season, Benny, when everybody else was hitting home runs at Petco Park, except for the San Diego Padres. So you couldn't, well, everything's dying at the track. Yeah, for us, for the other teams, the ball was flying out of the yard. It was crazy, but it's all, you know, as baseball typically does, it evens out. So, yeah, man, I just want to get there, man. I just want to make the playoffs. That's what I want this team to do. Covering that playoff run a couple years ago was the time of my life. It was such a blast.
Yeah, I think first wild card spot is a realistic goal. I know people don't want to just give up the division to the Dodgers.
Bro, they're so incomplete. They're so incomplete.
They are, but remember, you're 7.5 games
back. I understand. You don't go chasing it, but
it's... That's a lot to make up against a team that the Dodgers, even as not being as dominant as we thought they were going to be, they're not a team that's going to play 10 games under 500 the rest of the year.
No, they're not.
I mean, if they struggle, they'll probably still be slightly above 500, which means you're going to have to play insane, like 20 to 25 games above 500 the rest of the year to have even a chance at catching the Dodgers. Is that impossible? No, it's not.
It's not.
But based on what we've seen so far, which is, what, four games above 500 for the first half, you'd have to play a lot better than you did in the first half of the season.
No question. A lot
better to have a chance at catching the Dodgers. And that's even, and that's assuming that they don't improve. They're probably going to make some trades as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, I don't think that that needs to be the goal. First wild card, though, is very, very possible and realistic and something you should be going after.
Well, and this Padres team winning, what was it, 9 out of 11 recently, they've given themselves a little bit of a cushion. They've started to give themselves a cushion. I think we talked about
like
it.
Like a four-day cushion here.
Yeah, still, hey, that's
better than nothing.
Better than nothing. They haven't had that up until this point of the season. I think we were talking about the Phillies maybe a couple weeks ago when they went on a skid, and we said, well, when you were 20 games above 500, you can afford to drop six in a row
or whatever.
Yankees, too.
Yankees,
maybe that's the team.
Crushed.
And the Padres haven't had that luxury. I mean, a four-game losing streak, we were ready to throw in the towel on the season.
Yeah, we sell.
I'm not expecting them to win 9 of the next 11, but they do have 11 games exactly between now and the All-Star break.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can stay on that hot streak and win 7, 8, 9 out of 11,
it would be...
then you're really building yourselves a cushion where when you have an inevitable skid and, you know, drop 5 in a row or 7 out of 8 or something, it's not going to be the end of the season.
Yeah, we can't. You got to avoid those as best you can in the second half. That's the most captain obvious thing. But, I mean, it's what we've seen this year. It's how this team has run. So the road's not any easier. I mean, the schedule's pretty tough. I know that the off days are built in, but it's going to be a fun one, man. It's going to be a fun one. Strap in, and as we like to say, enjoy the ride.
I'm
Ben and Woods.
I'd love to have Soccer Woods make an appearance coming up here.
Been waiting to talk about it all morning.
Yeah, we know what it feels like to be a frustrated baseball fan, but the soccer fans out there are extremely frustrated with Team USA's early exit in Copa America. We've got some scathing audio to bring you from last night's game as well. We'll get to all of that coming up before Jesse Agler joins us at the bottom of the hour. Don't go away. More Ben and Woods coming up here after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So imagine a universe, Woods, in which the Padres, and we're just as big a Padres fans as we always were, but instead of playing 162 games every season and then potentially the playoffs, they play actually 3 meaningful games every 2 years. And if you don't do well in those, then the last 2 years have been a complete disaster. Even if you played pretty well in one of the games, let's say you put a lot of runners on, got them in scoring position, but you guys didn't come through. You went 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position.
That feels right.
In your one game that mattered in 3 years, and you ended up losing 1-0.
Isn't that what international soccer kind of is?
Yeah.
And, you know, Team USA played in Copa America, which is the biggest event in between the World Cups in international soccer in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, as my buddy explained it to me last night, look, this is a really, really good opportunity to show what they're going to see in a couple of years and what you're building towards, and are you on the right track? You know, that's really what it is in regards to the World Cup. Are you on the right track right now with the U.S. men's national team? And boy, if you watched the game last night, you know, I don't know a lot about soccer, and I tweeted it last night. I said, one of the reasons I'm reluctant to get super into it is I think, you know, much like the umpires kill me in baseball, they kill me. Soccer seems to be worse. Worse. It's one of the reasons basketball drives me nuts too. Just the just kind of foul here, not a foul here, and I my timeline is filled. I have a lot of friends that are super soccer fans. Every weekend, my timeline is filled with people ripping VAR, ripping the refs, and I'm like, can my blood pressure handle super soccer fandom? I don't know that it can.
So if you were following, the U.S. lost their second group play game against Panama when they took an early red card and had to play a man down for the entire match. So if it was baseball, you'd be like playing 8-on-9 without a fielder for the entire game. Puts you at a real disadvantage, and that put them in a must-win situation yesterday against a really good team. Uruguay, considered one of the top sides in South America, and it was always going to be their toughest match. And it's not like the U.S. played horribly. They only gave up the one goal, and they had some chances. They just couldn't convert. The referee was... It's like you play your one big game in 2 years, and Angel Hernandez ends up being the ump behind the plate.
That's
like,
it. Oh! And I guess this guy had not had many opportunities to be a referee on the biggest of stages. And I think, based on, again, on my timeline, I hate to come on here and go off half-cock like I know what I'm talking about, because I'll be the first to admit, I really don't. I'm just going off what I see, people that I respect, saying, no, Woodsy, this guy is really, really bad. It doesn't mean, though, they didn't have plenty of chances. Even I, the very novice soccer fan, noticed plenty of opportunities to, at least for two goals that I can remember off the top of my head, that I went, oh, wow, that's going to come back and hurt you. It was a really physical game, man. Really physical early. Uruguay is a really good team. I mean, watching them play, yeah, you kind of understand where the fervor lies for soccer at the highest level.
But again, as a non-soccer expert, I remember watching World Cups 15, 20 years ago, and I always felt like, all right, the U.S. is definitely overmatched in this game, but maybe they can use their speed and counter punch and score.
Yeah.
It felt like watching against Uruguay, that the U.S. had the ball for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, they're making the passes that the other team was. They weren't, like, outclassed. They simply aren't finishing. They aren't getting the goals that they need to get. And, you know, don't take it from us. Take it from the experts who know. And after the game, on the Fox Sports 1 broadcast, they had the crew sitting there at the desk. And who was it, Alexi Lalas?
Yes, he went ham.
He just went in on Coach Greg Berhalter and Team USA's pitiful performance in Copa America.
You talk about learning from losing, okay? I think what we have learned over these cycles is that this team is not able to do anything better than is done in the past. And that hurts. That hurts to say, because that was not what was promised and not what for many we believed was going to happen with this team. Because if this is as good as it gets, it's not good enough. And there's plenty of excuses, but they don't matter. You know, you can talk about opportunities. Well, we got players that are playing all over the world. Talk about playing in Europe. Well, the entire team that you saw out there plays in Europe, so it's not MLS's fault. You can talk about, you know, the pathways and the resources that they have. No generation has been given more, and yet this generation hasn't lived up to that bargain. And when it comes to Greg Berhalter, we heard Stu Holden say it's exactly right. You know, I know there's a sport in firing coaches in all professional sports. And I know the knives are out, and they should be, because this is not good enough from Greg Berhalter. And you have to ask yourself, with 2026 coming barreling down the pike. It's going to come
less
real
than
quick.
2 years away.
All right. We can't afford to waste it. We can't afford to be embarrassed. And we can't afford to arrive in the summer of 26 with a team that has not progressed, that has not evolved, and has not improved. Now, I'm sure if Greg Berhalter was here, he would say, oh, but you don't see what's happening inside. I don't give a crap what is happening inside. I don't care about the dynamic. I don't care how much your players love you. I don't care how kumbaya it is. All I care about is I see a U.S. men's national team that is better than before. And we haven't seen that, and that's a problem going forward.
Is that on the players? Is that on the manager? Is that on the federation? Where are we saying you need to be better?
Well, the players certainly need to be better. You know?
Do you think this generation of players has what it takes? Like, do you think that they have that deep inside of them?
I think there's a couple of them. I think they are better soccer players, but ultimately I don't think that they're better U.S. men's national team players.
Yeah, somebody said in the chat, that looks like some controlled rage. Yeah, it did, and he, you know, he was pretty strong on it last night. And again, I saw a lot of the same sentiments echoed online last night by some people that are much more in the know than me. But,
I don't know enough to know, like, is it like any other sport, like in baseball, when we're talking about, man, the players are going out there, they're the ones that are playing. Like,
yeah.
How much of this embarrassment, as it's been tagged over the last couple of days, is on the coach.
You know, and they asked some of the players about it last night, you know, which is, you know, credit to the reporters for asking, like, hey, is Greg Berhalter the guy to lead this team? And I think they were reluctant to just throw him under the bus, but they said, you know, it's on us. We didn't finish last night in a couple opportunities that we had, and they didn't. They had opportunities to do it. Refs be damned. And even I, with my novice eyes, could tell you had a couple opportunities you needed to bury it, and you didn't.
Ultimately, the next game, important game that Team USA plays that everybody will care about, won't be until their first game of the World Cup in 2026.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
They'll have international games, but they don't have to qualify because they're the host, so they're in. So essentially, they will not play another meaningful game for 2 years, and then that next meaningful game will be the biggest game they play this decade because they'll be hosting a World Cup,
yeah.
And it'll be this one chance for this Pulisic generation to show what they've got. They got 2 years to get it right now. And that's it.
And you wonder, will you make sweeping changes right now to that team, or does this guy get a chance to see it through? It's going to be interesting.
We'll find out.
All right.
Jesse Agler is going to join us next, voice of the Padres, Incorporator Tuesday. He's in Texas getting ready for the series against the Rangers, chatting with Jesse Agler when we come back with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Star 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Baseball and Softball Training Facilities. Hey parents, Frozen Ropes Softball Summer League starting up, registering softball players ages 6 through 12. 6 games, 6 practices with professional coaching starts mid-July. Make it a Frozen Ropes summer. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com and call to register today. It's always weird when I talk about one of the things that you usually talk about.
Yeah.
Like Frozen Ropes, or if you were talking about like the Farmer's Dog or sdfatloss.com.
Yeah.
But I don't mind. Throw it in there. Sounds like fun.
My little Frozen Ropes player will be here in about an hour. Mama's got to drop him off. It's the summer juggling of mom's got to work, kids need care. I salute all of those parents out there, man, the 9-to-5ers. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I mean, I am very lucky, and Hannah's very lucky with our schedules that we can handle it. 9-to-5, single parent or something, forget it.
You feel guilty because you can't wait for school to start again, that structure. But you know that the kids don't want that.
It really has nothing to do with structure. It has to do with a place that you can dump your kid off for like 8 hours and then do what you want to do. That's really, I mean, if I'm being completely honest with you, that's what it is.
I know it's even harder for Jesse, who has to be traveling during the summer as well, I'm sure.
Mrs. Agler is just on him.
We will talk with Jesse Agler and get his thoughts from Texas right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So as Jesse joins us from Arlington, Texas, and baseball season, he's working almost every day. When the Padres are at home and they have a rare off day, I know he's at home and, you know, helping out, doing whatever he can. But there is those weird situations during the baseball season where you have an off day on the road. You can't really do anything.
Can't do anything about it.
Just kind of, it's a day off. It's a day for you. There's nothing you can do at home, Jesse. So how did you spend the off day yesterday in Dallas?
I have said for a very long time that the most valuable days on the baseball calendar are the road off days. And it's exactly what you just said. It's like, eh, sorry, you know, I mean, when you're at home and you got an off day, there's family stuff, you're doing dry cleaning and laundry, you know, like a dentist or whatever, like anything you need to catch up on, that's what the home off days are for. And so really the only, like, for me, at least, the true off days, are the ones on the road. So it was pretty low key. You know, it's like a billion degrees here.
Yeah.
Texas is great, right? Because you combine the heat of Arizona with the humidity of Florida.
It's very cool.
And you put it all into one. It's really amazing. So didn't, you know, get out and about or anything necessarily, but, you know, worked out, walked over to a place close by for lunch, saw Mike Schilt there. And he was, it seemed like, having a very similar day that I was.
Why were you at Chipotle for lunch?
Why were you at Chipotle?
No, you know, it wasn't. There's no Chipotle within walking distance. So, but yeah, it was like, you know, a whole lot of nothing, I think is how he put it. You know, I mean, everybody, I think, just trying to rest and recuperate a little bit. So, you know, kind of a low key day recharge here. It's a much, much friendlier schedule in the next month than it was in the last month in terms of, you know, how often they're playing and days off. So, you know, hopefully, you know, you'll see that reflected in the win loss record, because, you know, as I'm sure I've said to you guys, and Tony and I have talked about a lot too, I think, you know, some of the struggles that the Padres had in the last, call it, 5 weeks had to do with the fact that the schedule was just gnarly, and those lack of days off. And then you get into a situation where you had a couple starters who weren't regularly going deep into the games. It puts you so far behind the eight ball. But now they're going to be in a position for the next 5 weeks, really, where they're able to absorb, you know, some more stuff like that. And we'll see how it goes.
You know, if I were you, if I was Jesse Agler doing the same role, I wouldn't even call home on those days off on the road. I would not make the phone call.
That doesn't work. No.
Well, I shoot a text. Hope you guys are good. I'm going to the JFK Museum right now. See you guys later. Like, there's just no way. I get my ass kicked every time Jesse Agler, the Incorporator, joins us here on a Tuesday. Jesse, yeah, obviously, you getting a chance to go to Fenway Park. We were texting about it a little bit. Pretty incredible, man. Pretty freaking incredible to go. That ballpark is a cathedral. You got to do all the ins and outs. You got to go out. What does it smell like inside the Green Monster?
You know what? It's funny. The Green Monster. So the day I went in was Sunday, the day game. And it was really very warm and steamy outside. And I was like, it's probably going to be pretty gross inside the monster. But it was kind of damp and cool. A little bit like a wine cellar feel almost. Not wine, but, you know, like number placards and name placards for all the different teams. But it wasn't too dank or anything in there. You know, there's, I guess, a fair amount of ventilation because there's all the holes and the slots that go out there. But yeah, it was just, it's really, really neat. I mean, I had been there only once in my life. It was, you know, summer after junior year of high school, looking at colleges with my dad. And it was before the Red Sox had won. So it was before Fenway was crazy. And I just remember walked up to the box office, you know, 20 minutes before the game, bought two tickets and, like, you know, went to a game. That was in the summer, I guess, of 99. And that was the only other time in my life I'd been to Fenway. So obviously a very, very different experience this time, and to be able to kind of have the access that I did and to be able to walk around on the field and go inside the monster and, you know, get there super early on the first day to just sort of walk around and take it in. Special, man. It's one of the best parts of this job, as like a total baseball geek, you know, to be able to experience those different places and do so in a very special kind of intimate way. You know, the fact that I can just roll up there at 2 o'clock, you know, before a 7 o'clock game and almost have the place to myself, right? Is incredible. So, you know, you guys know I'm a big geek with that kind of stuff. It was very special. And while Globe Life is not necessarily of the same historic significance as Fenway, this will be my final ballpark to check this series for the Rangers. The couple years that the Padres have played here was COVID, so we didn't get the opportunity to come. And this will complete the circuit for me tonight, which I'm excited about.
You're done. That's it. Every friggin' ballpark. That's incredible. Till they build a new one. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Look at you.
Jesse, let me ask you, because the All-Star game is coming up at that very same park in 2 weeks from today. And I wondered, like, a week ago, I could have made a pretty compelling case for Jackson Merrill to be included on the NL team. Now it's hard to make a case for leaving him off the National League All-Star team. Do you get the sense that word is getting out about Jackson Merrill beyond San Diego and what he is now doing in his rookie season that is pretty incredible now?
No doubt about it. You know, he's definitely broken through the West Coast news, if you will. Sometimes, as we all know, that wall is a difficult one to push through. But I think he has. There's been a lot of talk about him. You know, All-Star, I haven't taken like a close enough look at, you know, the voting and all that kind of stuff to see, you know, the other names that are involved.
He's not in the final vote, but he could certainly be a reserve. He's the
best
war of any outfielder in the National League.
Might end up as reserves. Yeah. I haven't looked at the names and the numbers, you know, for all those guys. But look, from a numbers standpoint for him, certainly those are All-Star numbers. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And you know, when you start considering getting a rookie who's going to be a top vote getter and rookie of the year, if not the winner in the National League, into the All-Star game, you know, for MLB, that's a good move, right? I mean, you want to be able to showcase somebody like that because this is a budding star in the league. You know, I think I said on the air to Tony after the Brewers series, when the Nats were in town, I said, you know, it kind of felt to me like in the last week, Jackson Merrill had leveled up, like in a video game, you know, like he had kind of just gotten to that next point. And since I've said that, I feel like he's leveled up three more times. I mean, it's been absolutely incredible watching this guy exceeding every expectation I had, honestly, you know, in terms of what he'd be able to provide. And he's been a critical piece to the success that this team has had, not just on the field and not just with the numbers, but I think the energy and the intensity and the kind of the personality that he brings is really important to this team as well. And, you know, if you're watching these games or listening to these games or going to these games, you notice that it would be impossible to miss. So, yeah, there's no doubt he's becoming more and more of a national story, and he deserves to be, because it's remarkable what he's doing. It really is.
Talking to our pal Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And I got to imagine the last 10 days or so have been pretty awesome to be in your position. I mean, some really good baseball, like you got the walk-offs, you got the benches clearing, you've got the kerfluffle the next day at home plate. Like, that's good stuff. And I know that you guys run into, you know, the dog days of August. We all do. We do covering the team too, where it's like, what a slog it is to watch this game sometimes. But man, you live for like the last 10 games or so.
It has been so much fun. And you know, like most importantly, obviously, is the wins that have gone along with it. What is it? You know, 9 out of 11 now. Winning is always more fun. You know, people think we're better broadcasters when the team is winning. I'm sure people think you guys are better at doing your show when the team is winning. 100%. I mean, it's funny how that works, right? But like, yeah, I mean, it's not just that they're winning, to your point. It's that they're playing very entertaining baseball. And I've said really all year, they play a very watchable brand of baseball. You know, we're lucky enough, right? We get to see now with the schedule as it is, we get to see literally every team in person. There are a whole lot of teams, even good teams in Major League Baseball, that play hard to watch baseball.
Sure.
And the Padres don't. You know, they put the ball in play, they strike out less than any other team in Major League Baseball this year. They've got this sort of really interesting, entertaining lineup, different guys that can do different things, different ways. You know, they can run when they want to. They play really good defense, generally speaking. It's great because it's not just that they're playing winning baseball. They're playing entertaining baseball, fun baseball. And again, the word I keep using is watchable baseball. Like there are, again, and I'm not naming names, but there are really, really good teams out there that are just bad to watch. They don't play a fun brand of baseball. You know, they just kind of sit around and they eventually bludgeon you and they take a billion pitches and it takes forever. Padres aren't about that. You know, it's just such a different approach than they had last year. And it's really fun to watch. And I tell you what, if more teams sort of committed to trying to play the kind of baseball that the Padres play, I think MLB would be in a better spot around the country, because it's noticeably different how the Padres kind of approach things than most every other team in the league.
Talking to Jesse Agler. He's with us from Texas. Padres Rangers tonight at 5:05 here on 97.3 The Fan. And Jesse, I know you always take a pretty measured approach when it comes to the trade deadline. What will happen will happen. And you know, A.J. Preller's always active. But you do hear things. I mean, do you have any expectations here about what might transpire over the next few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you know they're going to try and add. You know, this is this window, let's call it opening in 2020, you know, officially, like this is the heart of the window. You know, you've got guys in their primes. You've got the whole thing set up to make a run, no doubt. And, you know, I don't care about how last year went and how disappointing it was. You know, I remember going on with you guys at some point you know, and we said, you have to remember that it's always bigger than just the 1 year. And look at the Rangers. You know, I mean, they won it all last year. They've got a not good record this year. One of the worst records ever for a defending champion going into the month of July. That doesn't mean they can't be great again next year. You know, think about those Giants teams that Bruce Bochy had, right? 2010, they win, you know, on and on. I think in 2013, in between the second and third titles, they ended up finishing like 10 games under 500. So point being that this window is still the window. The window is still open and the Padres are still really, really, you know, having the goal of wanting to win it all. Even with the disappointment of last year, that never changed. And I think a lot of people, you know, around the league and around the country who weren't paying as close attention as all of us, you know, thought, oh, they traded Juan Soto. They're not bringing Blake Snell back. They're not trying to compete. That was never the case. This team still always had World Series 2024 at the top of the to-do list. And, you know, now, especially the way they're playing, there's no way that's changing. And that means that they're going to be in a position to try and get even better at the trade deadline. Now, what actually happens, what comes together, who knows? You know, there's a billion variables that go into all of that, but you better believe that they're going to be trying to make themselves even better because they believe, rightfully, by the way, that this is a World Series caliber team. And that is the goal for everybody involved in this organization.
Jesse, let's see. We kind of get to the dog days of summer when it comes to the Incorporator. So I'm counting on Woods to break us out with a good choice this week. And I don't even know what you've picked.
Bro, I found this word.
Okay.
And I'm still looking for how to say it. So I sent it to Paulie for the pronunciation. Go ahead, Paulie.
Nudiestration.
What?
Nudiestration.
Nudiestration.
Why did you pick someone on the internet who speaks a foreign language?
That's just what popped up. Nudiestration.
What's the definition?
It's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question. Because I am certain I'm looking for it right now.
Firing on all cylinders.
We really are.
Nudiestration?
Nudiestration. Yeah, it's an adjective.
Relating to the day before yesterday.
The day before yesterday. Nudiestration.
Okay. So it's like the opposite of penultimate?
Ooh, yes. Right. It's a great word, penultimate.
So let's see. So Sunday would be today, the nudiestration day to today.
Right, but it's an adjective. How do you use that?
That is interesting. That's a good point.
Good luck, pal.
How could it be an adjective?
I don't know. That's just what it says. ADJ is adjective. I know that from my English degree.
This is a tough one.
This is
like the nudiestertian.
Tower 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Baseball and Softball Training Facilities. Hey parents, Frozen Ropes Softball Summer League starting up, registering softball players ages 6 through 12. Six games, six practices with professional coaching starts mid-July. Make it a Frozen Ropes summer. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com and call to register today. It's always weird when I talk about one of the things that you usually talk about.
Yeah.
Like Frozen Ropes, or if you were talking about like the Farmer's Dog or sdfatloss.com.
Yeah.
But I don't mind. Throw it in there. Sounds like fun.
My little Frozen Ropes player will be here in about an hour. Mama's got to drop him off. It's the summer juggling of mom's got to work, kids need care. I salute all of those parents out there, man, the 9-to-5ers. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I mean, I am very lucky, and Hannah's very lucky with our schedules that it you know, we can handle it. 9-to-5, single parent or something, forget it.
You feel guilty because you can't wait for school to start again, that structure. But you know that the kids don't want that.
It really has nothing to do with structure. It has to do with a place that you can dump your kid off for like 8 hours and then do what you want to do. That's really, I mean, if I'm being completely honest with you, that's what it is.
I know it's even harder for Jesse, who has to be traveling during the summer as well, I'm sure.
Mrs. Agler is just on him.
We will talk with Jesse Agler and get his thoughts from Texas right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So as Jesse joins us from Arlington, Texas, and baseball season, he's working almost every day. When the Padres are at home and they have a rare off day, I know he's at home and, you know, helping out, doing whatever he can. But there is those weird situations during the baseball season where you have an off day on the road. You can't really do anything.
Can't do anything about it.
Just kind of, it's a day off. It's a day for you. There's nothing you can do at home, Jesse. So how did you spend the off day yesterday in Dallas?
I have said for a very long time that the most valuable days on the baseball calendar are the road off days. And it's exactly what you just said. It's like, sorry. You know, I mean, when you're at home and you got an off day, there's family stuff. You're doing dry cleaning and laundry, you know, like a dentist or whatever, like anything you need to catch up on. That's what the home off days are for. And so really the only, like, for me, at least, the true off days are the ones on the road. So it was pretty low key. You know, it's like a billion degrees here.
Yeah.
Texas is great, right? Because you combine the heat of Arizona with the humidity of Florida.
It's very cool.
And you put it all into one. It's really amazing. So didn't, you know, get out and about or anything necessarily, but, you know, worked out, walked over to a place close by for lunch, saw Mike Schilt there. And he was, it seemed like having a very similar day that I was.
Why were you at Chipotle for lunch?
Why were you at Chipotle?
No, you know, it wasn't. There's no Chipotle within walking distance. So, but yeah, it was like, you know, a whole lot of nothing, I think is how he put it. You know, I mean, everybody, I think, just trying to rest and recuperate a little bit. So, you know, kind of a low key day recharge here. It's a much, much friendlier schedule in the next month than it was in the last month in terms of, you know, how often they're playing and days off. So, you know, hopefully, you know, you'll see that reflected in the win loss record, because, you know, as I'm sure I've said to you guys, and Tony and I have talked about a lot too, I think, you know, some of the struggles that the Padres had in the last, call it, 5 weeks had to do with the fact that the schedule was just gnarly, and those lack of days off. And then you get into a situation where you had a couple starters who weren't regularly going deep into the games. It puts you so far behind the eight ball. But now they're going to be in a position for the next 5 weeks, really, where they're able to absorb, you know, some more stuff like that. And we'll see how it goes.
You know, if I were you, if I was Jesse Agler doing the same role, I wouldn't even call home on those days off on the road. I would not make the phone call.
That doesn't work. No.
Well, I shoot a text. Hope you guys are good. I'm going to the JFK Museum right now. See you guys later. Like, there's just no way. I would get my ass kicked every time Jesse Agler, the Incorporator, joins us here on a Tuesday. Jesse, yeah, obviously, you getting a chance to go to Fenway Park. We were texting about it a little bit. Pretty incredible, man. Pretty freaking incredible to go. That ballpark is a cathedral. You got to do all the ins and outs. You got to go out. And what does it smell like inside the Green Monster?
You know what? It's funny. The Green Monster. So the day I went in was Sunday, the day game. And it was really very warm and steamy outside. And I was like, it's probably going to be pretty gross inside the Monster. But it was kind of damp and cool. A little bit like a wine cellar feel almost. Not wine, but, you know, like number placards and name placards for all the different teams. But it wasn't too dank or anything in there. You know, there's, I guess, a fair amount of ventilation because there's all the holes and the slots that go out there. But yeah, it was just, it's really, really neat. I mean, I had been there only once in my life. It was, you know, summer after junior year of high school, looking at colleges with my dad. And it was before the Red Sox had won. So it was before Fenway was crazy. And I just remember walked up to the box office, you know, 20 minutes before the game, bought two tickets and, like, you know, went to a game. That was in the summer, I guess, of 99. And that was the only other time in my life I'd been to Fenway. So obviously a very, very different experience this time, and to be able to kind of have the access that I did and to be able to walk around on the field and go inside the Monster and, you know, get there super early on the first day to just sort of walk around and take it in. Special, man. It's one of the best parts of this job, as like a total baseball geek, you know, to be able to experience those different places and do so in a very special kind of intimate way. You know, the fact that I can just roll up there at 2 o'clock, you know, before a 7 o'clock game and almost have the place to myself, right? Is incredible. So, you know, you guys know I'm a big geek with that kind of stuff. It was very special. And while Globe Life is not necessarily of the same historic significance as Fenway, this will be my final ballpark to check this series for the Rangers. The couple years that the Padres have played here was COVID, so we didn't get the opportunity to come. And this will complete the circuit for me tonight, which I'm excited about.
You're done. That's it. Every friggin' ballpark. Hey. That's incredible. Till they build a new one. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Look at you.
Jesse, let me ask you, because the All-Star game is coming up at that very same park in 2 weeks from today. And I wondered, like a week ago, I could have made a pretty compelling case for Jackson Merrill to be included on the NL team. Now it's hard to make a case for leaving him off the National League All-Star team. Do you get the sense that word is getting out about Jackson Merrill beyond San Diego and what he is now doing in his rookie season that is pretty incredible now?
No doubt about it. You know, he's definitely broken through the West Coast news, if you will. Sometimes, as we all know, that wall is a difficult one to push through. But I think he has. There's been a lot of talk about him. You know, All-Star, I haven't taken like a close enough look at, you know, the voting and all that kind of stuff to see, you know, the other names that are involved.
He's not in the final vote, deserving? But he could certainly be a reserve. He's the
WAR of any outfielder in the National League. Might end up as reserves. Yeah. I haven't looked at the names and the numbers, you know, for all those guys. But look, from a numbers standpoint for him, certainly those are All-Star numbers. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And you know, when you start considering getting a rookie who's going to be a top vote getter and rookie of the year, if not the winner in the National League, into the All-Star game, you know, for MLB, that's a good move, right? I mean, you want to be able to showcase somebody like that because this is a budding star in the league. You know, I think I said on the air to Tony after the Brewers series, when the Nats were in town, I said, you know, it kind of felt to me like in the last week, Jackson Merrill had leveled up, like in a video game, you know, like he had kind of just gotten to that next point. And since I've said that, I feel like he's leveled up three more times. I mean, it's been absolutely incredible watching this guy exceeding every expectation I had, honestly, you know, in terms of what he'd be able to provide. And he's been a critical piece to the success that this team has had, not just on the field and not just with the numbers, but I think the energy and the intensity and the kind of the personality that he brings is really important to this team as well. And, you know, if you're watching these games or listening to these games or going to these games, you notice that it would be impossible to miss. So, yeah, there's no doubt he's becoming more and more of a national story, and he deserves to be, because it's remarkable what he's doing. It really is.
Talking to our pal Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And I got to imagine the last 10 days or so have been pretty awesome to be in your position. I mean, some really good baseball, like you got the walk-offs, you got the benches clearing, you've got the kerfluffle the next day at home plate. Like, that's good stuff. And I know that you guys run into, you know, the dog days of August. We all do. We do covering the team too, where it's like, what a slog it is to watch this game sometimes. But man, you live for like the last 10 games or so.
It has been so much fun. And you know, like most importantly, obviously, is the wins that have gone along with it. What is it? You know, 9 out of 11 now. Winning is always more fun. You know, people think we're better broadcasters when the team is winning. I'm sure people think you guys are better at doing your show when the team is winning. 100%. I mean, it's funny how that works, right? But like, yeah, I mean, it's not just that they're winning, to your point. It's that they're playing very entertaining baseball. And I've said really all year, they play a very watchable brand of baseball. You know, we're lucky enough, right? We get to see now with the schedule as it is, we get to see literally every team in person. There are a whole lot of teams, even good teams in Major League Baseball, that play hard to watch baseball.
Sure.
And the Padres don't. You know, they put the ball in play, they strike out less than any other team in Major League Baseball this year. They've got this sort of really interesting, entertaining lineup, different guys that can do different things, different ways. You know, they can run when they want to. They play really good defense, generally speaking. It's great because it's not just that they're playing winning baseball. They're playing entertaining baseball, fun baseball. And again, the word I keep using is watchable baseball. Like there are, again, and I'm not naming names, but there are really, really good teams out there that are just bad to watch. They don't play a fun brand of baseball. You know, they just kind of sit around and they eventually bludgeon you and they take a billion pitches and it takes forever. Padres aren't about that. You know, it's just such a different approach than they had last year. And it's really fun to watch. And I tell you what, if more teams sort of committed to trying to play the kind of baseball that the Padres play, I think MLB would be in a better spot around the country, because it's noticeably different how the Padres kind of approach things than most every other team in the league.
Talking to Jesse Agler. He's with us from Texas. Padres Rangers tonight at 5:05 here on 97.3 The Fan. And Jesse, I know you always take a pretty measured approach when it comes to the trade deadline. What will happen will happen. And you know, AJ Preller's always active. But you do hear things. I mean, do you have any expectations here about what might transpire over the next few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you know they're going to try and add. You know, this is this window, let's call it opening in 2020, you know, officially, like this is the heart of the window. You know, you've got guys in their primes. You've got the whole thing set up to make a run, no doubt. And, you know, I don't care about how last year went and how disappointing it was. You know, I remember going on with you guys at some point you know, and we said, you have to remember that it's always bigger than just the 1 year. And look at the Rangers. You know, I mean, they won it all last year. They've got a not good record this year. One of the worst records ever for a defending champion going into the month of July. That doesn't mean they can't be great again next year. You know, think about those Giants teams that Bruce Bochy had, right? 2010, they win, you know, on and on. I think in 2013, in between the second and third titles, they ended up finishing like 10 games under 500. So point being that this window is still the window. The window is still open and the Padres are still really, really, you know, having the goal of wanting to win it all. Even with the disappointment of last year, that never changed. And I think a lot of people, you know, around the league and around the country who weren't paying as close attention as all of us, you know, thought, oh, they traded Juan Soto. They're not bringing Blake Snell back. They're not trying to compete. That was never the case. This team still always had World Series 2024 at the top of the to-do list. And, you know, now, especially the way they're playing, there's no way that's changing. And that means that they're going to be in a position to try and get even better at the trade deadline. Now, what actually happens, what comes together, who knows? You know, there's a billion variables that go into all of that, but you better believe that they're going to be trying to make themselves even better because they believe, rightfully, by the way, that this is a World Series caliber team. And that is the goal for everybody involved in this organization.
Jesse, let's see. We kind of get to the dog days of summer when it comes to the Incorporator, so I'm counting on Woods to break us out with a good choice this week, and I don't even know what you've picked.
Bro, I found this word,
okay,
and I'm still looking for how to say it, so I sent it to Paulie for the pronunciation. Go ahead, Paulie.
Nudiestration.
What?
Nudiestration.
Nudiestration.
Why did you pick someone on the internet who speaks a foreign language?
That's just what popped up. Nudiestration.
What's the definition?
It's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question. Because I am certain I'm looking for it right now.
Firing on all cylinders.
We really are.
Nudiestration?
Nudiestration. Yeah, it's an adjective.
Relating to the day before yesterday.
The day before yesterday. Nudiestration.
Okay. So it's like the opposite of penultimate?
Ooh, yes. Right. It's a great word, penultimate.
So let's see. So Sunday would be today, the nudiestration day to today.
Right, but it's an adjective. How do you use that?
That is interesting. That's a good point.
Good luck, pal.
How could it be an adjective?
I don't know. That's just what it says. ADJ is adjective. I know that from my English degree.
This is a tough one.
Like the nudiestertian game would be the
Sunday
game.
Yes, look at you. All right. Now he's got it.
We just made it easy for him.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, it's never going to be easy to say nudiestertian.
And there's no way to slip that one past Tony.
No.
I mean, I mean, so here's an example. I saw him nudiestertian. I saw you on Sunday.
Saw him in the locker room.
Sounds like you saw him without his clothes
That's
on.
Right. Nudiestertian. I like that. That's a tough one. I'm not trying to make it easy on you.
This is what happens when we all text each other while Jesse's on the air with us trying to find a word.
Yeah, nudiestertian. Piece of cake, bro. You got this.
All right, what if next week, to mix it up, what if I bring the word?
I like that.
We need a mix up for sure.
Yeah, we do.
Nudiestertian.
Okay. Right,
good luck. Have fun. Safe trip back home for the rest of the first half.
Check out that JFK Museum. It's really
good.
The
school book depository.
Yeah, it's very cool, actually. If you've never been, it's really cool.
Dealey Plaza.
Dealey Plaza.
I might try and go over tomorrow morning.
All right, do it. Yeah, you'll love it.
Jesse Agler, right. Voice of the Padres. And again, 505 first pitch today. 405 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. It's Dylan Cease on the mound to open the series against Nathan Eovaldi for the Texas Rangers.
Paulie wanted us to see if he would do Hawk Tua. He's not
people
going
in the
to,
chat were asking.
He's not going to do Hawk Tua.
It's been done in a major league broadcast.
It has, so it's already been done. I wonder if that guy got in trouble. Do you think he did? Do you think Jesse would?
No, I don't think he'd get in trouble.
Really?
I mean, I guess it depends who your boss is.
That's true. I wonder if Jesse would get in trouble. He's pretty buttoned up. I don't think he's going to do Hawk Tua.
Jesse would just be mad at himself. He just wouldn't allow it to happen.
Hawk Tua!
It's not even a word.
It's two words.
It's neither of them are words.
Hawk
actually.
Is a word.
It's a sound.
Hawk is a word.
Hawk.
Hawk.
Tua.
Tua.
What's the definition of hawk?
Spit on that thing.
I do get you.
What's the definition of hawk?
Hawk?
Yeah.
It's a bird.
Well, see, not in this context. There's nothing bird. They're not talking about birds there. I will come back. Ryan will report. Final hour of Ben and Woods next year on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.